Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. This is the first time I've given a talk of any sort and really didn't know how to go about it, so I asked a couple of brothers for guidance. They were generous enough to give me some information to use for my Logos publication. So I've combined what they gave me with some of my own thoughts on this chapter. I welcome your comments afterward. We know that Solomon wrote the Ecclesiastes. He is known as the wisest man to have lived. In chapter 4, he writes about how vanity is increased when men are oppressed, how vanity is increased by envy, idleness, by covetousness, by solitariness, and by willfulness. In verses 1 through 3, Solomon notices that there is evil upon the earth, and that no one to comfort those that are oppressed. Verse 2 states, "I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive." He is saying that he pities the living more than he pities the dead, because the dead are no longer sinning, and the living are. And verse 3 implies that there is so much oppression in the world that one would be better off dead. In verses 4 through 6, it says, verse 4, Solomon considers all the evil and travail, and notices that a man that works hard to make a living cannot enjoy his work because his neighbor envies his work. And the man can never enjoy the fruits of his work because his neighbor's envy drives him to always do something better. In verse 5, he tells us that the fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. The fool is a man who does not work to have a better life. He folds his hands in idleness and doesn't work, and when he has to start living off his own substance, he will have nothing and will waste away. In verse 6, it says that it is better to live quietly with one handful than to have two handful in a life full of vexation and travail or troubles. It is best that we be happy with what we have than to always want more and more. He says that he returned and saw vanity under the sun. So he noticed that there is much sin and vanity on the earth. In verse 8 it says, "There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereaveth my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore of a travail." What he's saying here is that the man that works alone will have an unnatural greed for wealth and money, and this will separate him from friends and family. This is because he does not want to share his wealth. The man will work and work and not be satisfied because his greed is like a disease. This is a very sad way to live. Verse 9, it says, "Two are better than the one, because they can accomplish much more than the man working by himself. They will receive more of a reward for their work." Verse 10, it shows how two men are better than one. If one man falls, then the other will be able to help him up. Or if he falls into evil, the other can help him out. If the man who is alone falls, no one will be there to help him up. If he falls into evil, no one will be there to save him. And if two get cold, they can provide heat for each other, but the man alone cannot provide heat for himself. This is the advantage of fellowship. This is why brothers and sisters should work together and help support and guide each other during the times of trial and tribulation. Verse 12, he goes on to show the advantages of companionship. If one man can prevail against another man, then two can easily withstand the attack of another man, and a company of three will not be easily defeated. Where two or more brothers are together, they can support each other in the truth, and this will make it easier for them to withstand the cares of the world. Verse 13 states, "Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished." So it is better to be poor and wise and as lowly as a child than to be rich and foolish and as powerful as a king. The foolish king will no more be admonished or wish to do what is right in God's eyes. We can liken this to Saul. Saul initially did what God wanted and was a man of good character, but he quickly changed and turned from God. This is an example for us to always strive to do what is right in God's eyes and not our own. It is much better to have wisdom than all the riches of the world. Verse 14 implies it is better to come from a lowly place and to rise in status than to be king or ruler and be foolish and lose what one is born with. Verse 14 is referencing when Joseph was called out of prison and became a ruler of Egypt. He shows his wisdom to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh rewarded him. Joseph grew from a child to a person of a good or rich character. A poor person born into riches and wealth may grow unwise and develop a poor character because he does not have to work for what he has. It is given to him, so he does not appreciate it and take care of what he's been given. When a person works for something, he tends to take a little bit better care of it. We can learn from this in our own lives and take the truth and use it for our good, as well as for helping others to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants us to do. The last two verses are talking about how popularity is a passing thing, that there will always be someone or something better that comes along and takes the place of what is popular now. Popularity is fleeting, but it is ego-building. But again, it is vanity and short-lived, not something we should place our faith and hopes in. In conclusion, let us all strive to be like the poor but wise child in our lifestyle and seek God in all that we do and help each other on our journey toward the kingdom of God.